As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Nine to noon.
Personal foul.
P.A.
Just listen. Just listen.
Time for two more.
Oh, well.
Dirty old street all slushed up in the rain and snow.
We start this show with some breaking news. After the completion of the game tonight, we were informed by Major League Baseball that Justin Turner received a positive COVID test. That's why he was removed from the game. We have no other details at this time. We'll continue, though, to report on this developing story. Obviously, we hope Turner's okay and that everyone else is okay that's been around Turner. But there you go.
In line underneath the brand new Japanese guitar.
P.F.T.
I remember in the morning, Ma, hearing your alarm clock ring. I'd lie in bed.
Mike Florio, Paul Allen, KFAN, Brian Heating and Cooling Studios. Good morning.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Pretty well. It is a football feast when Pro Football Talks. Mike Florio joins 9 to noon. Good morning, everybody. But it's a fastball feast to begin. You may have heard the news report. I read it this morning at ProFootballTalk.com with a fastball football feast tie to it. Justin Turner, L.A. Dodgers, World Series winner, pulled from World Series Game 6 very late, like the eighth inning. COVID positive. He got bit. Then the Dodgers win the World Series after the game. Well, there's Justin out there with the teammates, mask-free, right next to people. Your thoughts on that, how it ties to potentially the NFL learning from it, and good morning.
First of all, do you have a fastball feast drop to go along with football feast?
You
that would be awesome.
You didn't say good morning.
Fastball feast. Good morning, Paul.
Fastball feast. So like if the commissioner's watching and he sees that and like he's going to, you know, speak to the NFL, what lesson can be learned? Because, I mean, the World Series was in a bubble and somebody got bit.
Right. I mean, there's a bunch of things that come up from this. Number one, you have a positive that happened in this bubble in Arlington where the Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays were playing the World Series, and it makes me wonder who else potentially is going to have it, who's in the incubation period that may get it. The other issue, and this is relevant to the NFL, now that the league does the same-day testing. They were not doing game-day testing. They weren't doing it until week six. They were getting tested every day except game day. And now that you have the game day PCR test, and that's the test where you do the swab, they take it to a lab, and how soon you get it back depends on how close you are to the lab, right? So let's say there's a sample taken of a player before a night game, and at some point during that night game, the league gets word that that player tested positive. What would the league do? See, the fact that Major League Baseball reached in and snatched Justin Hunter and took him away from the game, I don't know whether or not the NFL would do that. I talked to somebody who's pretty well connected who suggested the NFL wouldn't do that. I have asked the league that question. What is the procedure in the event that this would happen? We've got night games every week. We've got playoff games that start at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, at 8 o'clock Eastern. We've got a Super Bowl that starts at 6:30 Eastern. You, in theory, could have a test result come back during one of these night games or playoff games, and what are you going to do? And the other thing is this. Once you do reach in and grab a guy and say, you're out of here, you're positive for COVID-19, you better be damn sure that he can't get back in, which is obviously what Justin Hunter did. And isn't it the epitome of 2020 that guy can go on Twitter and say, it's a shame I wasn't able to go out and celebrate with my teammates on the field, when he clearly was? He clearly did. And he had his mask off for the team photo, sitting next to Dave Roberts, the manager of the team, who's a cancer survivor. Are you kidding me?
Ooh.
So there's a lot of layers here. But the thing is, the NFL can learn from what went on last night, or they can keep their head in the sand and act like it's not going to happen to them. And they got a gift here, because now they can see this, they can plan for it, they can have their own procedures ready to go as to what they're going to do if they get a positive back during a game, and they better be damn sure that that guy can't get back onto the field for the celebration if it's an AFC or NFC championship or a Super Bowl win that his team ultimately secures.
Hey,
Florio.
I think one thing that definitely was underplayed, and I'm not getting political here because I don't care about politics, but I felt it was dramatically underplayed, the fact that 6, 7, 8 Titans played the Vikings, and we've talked about this, man, and, you know, no Vikings came tested positive. No Vikings got bit despite being right next to the COVID positive during the game. It's underplayed and quite honestly unexplainable.
Well, it's not unexplainable because the NFL believes that the degree of difficulty to catch the virus in a setting like that is much higher than in a confined space. And the league believes that the transmission rate is much higher in a locker room, in a meeting room, in a place with a low ceiling, but in a dome stadium with great ventilation. And those domes all have state-of-the-art anti-terrorism ventilation in the event of an aerosol attack. It's not something that, you know, people are going to be talking about in a open and candid way, but it's the truth. And you know what? We'd expect that in this day and age, that any type of a confined stadium with a fixed roof would have the ability to deal quickly with any type of biological weapon that would be released into the air. So in a dome, in an open-air stadium, the thinking is you're not going to get enough virus. It's going to dissipate quickly. There's this concept of viral load, and the CDC talks about how much time you should be around someone and when the limit is, and even if it's not 15 continuous minutes, it's 15 minutes over the course of a day, etc. We only have one data point that proves the NFL's theory, but I think that's why the virus didn't jump during that game, because it is much harder to get it in a setting like that.
How many games do you think we win from here? Currently sitting at a robust 1. The Vikings, robust 1 win. How many do we get from here?
Well, I don't know. I think every win is a loss as it relates to the ability to climb up in the draft rankings and get the best player possible for next year. Because really, at the end of the day, does it matter if they're 3-13, 2-14, 4-12, 5-11? It's not going to get Mike Zimmer fired, I don't think. I mean, he's got the contract that was given to him before the season. Rick Spielman's got his contract. I think no matter what, they're all coming back next year. So, look, I understand everyone's going to compete and we want to, you know, all the cliches, baloney. Every game you win once you are done is a loss as it relates to your draft order and your draft position. And look at what teams give up every year to move up in the draft. If you lose enough games, you don't have to move up in the draft, and you can get a great player that way. And that's kind of where I think the Vikings are, and that's how you win the rest of this season. You know, now, if they win at Green Bay on Sunday, I don't see it happening. I'll be stunned if it's even close. Now, maybe having 2 weeks to get ready helps, but this team doesn't match up well with the Packers. We know that. We've seen it. We saw it week one. So, and then you got the Lions, who all of a sudden are a playoff contender. Then you got to go to Chicago. I don't see a whole lot of wins, but there's Jaguars, you know, and the Lions aren't a gimme like they used to be. I can 3-13 is not out of the question for this team unless they turn something around quickly. And the key is this, Paul, you know, something I think short-circuited when they lost that Seahawks game and they couldn't get it back in time for the Falcons. And I just wonder whether or not guys just don't care at this point. They just want to get through the season and get on to next year.
Has Aaron Rodgers ever played better? I mean, he embraces the fanless vibe better than anybody ever will. And I'm not saying that he doesn't want fans, but with fewer distractions, I've just never seen him more in control.
Yeah, he really is amazing. And I think Mark Murphy, the CEO of the team, is a great mad scientist. Last year, there was the scathing report from Tyler Dunn, then a Bleacher Report regarding dysfunction involving Aaron Rodgers and former coach Mike McCarthy. And Murphy said at one point, you know, maybe this is good that everybody's pissed off about it. And it ended up being very good last year. Now this year, they're into the second year of the Matt LaFleur offense. They're better. Aaron Rodgers, whether he admits it or not, and he won't, has that chip on his shoulder about the decision to draft Jordan Love and not get him a Chase Claypool, who would have been there. Other receivers would have been available. And if you're going to trade up and get a receiver. Don't trade up and get a guy who's going to be on the bench. But to the extent that that has motivated Aaron Rodgers, another feather in the cap of Mark Murphy to get the most out of Rodgers. Now, are they a complete team? Are they a team that can go on the road and beat the Buccaneers? You know, we saw them go to San Francisco last year and get pummeled the same way they got pummeled during the season. I think if they would go to Tampa in the postseason, they would get pummeled the same way they did. So there's a hard cap on what the Packers, I think, can ultimately do. And even if they get to the Super Bowl, I don't think they can compete with the best the AFC has to offer. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is great. And who knows how many more years of it the Vikings are going to have to deal with. Remember what Mike Zimmer said after they drafted Jordan Love. He said maybe they should trade Aaron Rodgers. And the sooner he's gone, the better off the Vikings are
going to
be.
How excited do you think Everson Griffin is going to be to play the Vikings in a couple of Sundays?
Oh, it's his first game with the Lions because he can't play this weekend because of the COVID protocol where you have to be away from the team for 5 or 6 days. And, yeah, game number one, come to Minnesota. He's going to be fired up. And I was surprised the Lions were the ones that got him for two reasons. Number one, the Lions usually aren't buyers at the trade deadline. And number two, I thought the Seahawks would do what they had to do to get Everson Griffin because they need that pass rush more than the Lions. And, you know, I don't know if they just decided not to match the bid or if the Cowboys didn't want the Seahawks to have him. I think the Cowboys should be more concerned about the Lions and the Seahawks now because the Cowboys, in theory, if they don't win the division, could be in the mix for the 7th seed, potentially. Potentially. It's going to take some NFC East teams playing a lot better than they have for that to be relevant. But you don't want to be trying to box out the Lions, and you've made them a little bit better with Everson Griffin. You send them to the Seahawks, you don't have to worry about it. The Seahawks are at the top of the conference, not jostling for playoff positioning at the bottom.
Football feast.
There it is.
Negan is 5.
Football feast.
Negan is 5-2. He beats the teams he's supposed to beat. They'll worry about the Steelers and the Ravens later this season, but most likely next year. Negan's 5-2, Michael. What do you think?
Oh, I'm very impressed, and I think he's got a chance to be coach of the year. And if they win the games they're supposed to win, if they win those games, they'll at least be 10-6. There's 3 games they should lose: Ravens, Steelers, Titans. They should lose those games. There are 5 games they should win, including back-to-back games against the 2 awful New York teams. The one game that kind of falls in between is this weekend against the Raiders. If they get past the Raiders, and then they go into their bye after that, I believe, they're looking at 11-5. So even though it feels like this team isn't 5-2, they are in a much better position than the NFC 5-2 team that seems worse than 5-2, which is the Bears. I think the Browns are in position to get to the playoffs. Now, whether or not they're ready to beat the best teams in the conference, they're not. But, and maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe you get lucky. That's why they play the games, as Chris Berman always said. Maybe you pull an inside straight and you can beat the Steelers and the Chiefs and the Ravens and get to the Super Bowl. Crazier things have happened. But I like where they are. And I like what Kevin Stefanski has been doing. And, you know, one thing I said in the aftermath of the Browns-Bengals game on Sunday, the Steelers better have a plan for post-Ben Roethlisberger, or they're going to get left in the dust in that conference, or in that division, with all those great quarterbacks.
And after they beat the Raiders, they get the bye, then Negan gets his metaphorical baseball bat with the nails on the end, known as Nick Chubb.
I thought it was Lucille.
Oh, Lucille. He gets Lucille, otherwise known as Nick Chubb.
There you go.
All right, bless you, bud. Have a good week.
Later.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. The Wednesday piece to begin festivities middle of the week is Mike Florio, NBC's Football Night in America, and ProFootballTalk.com with some deeply rooted, learned football opinions. Good morning. I'm Paul Allen. The producer is Eric Nordquist. He is mad producer. And courtesy of TimberTech and TimberTech.com, what's on deck 9 to noon today includes the Dagger next segment, previewing Vikings and Packers, the Zimmer press conference at 10 o'clock, weekly Wednesday piece, 10 o'clock, Fan on the Farm at 11 o'clock, Fan on the Farm at 11 o'clock.
Here's to the farmers.
Can I get a chicken noise? Fan on the Farm, 11 o'clock. And in case you need it, maybe you don't, but hopefully you like it. In the penultimate today, a Rube's Guide to Viewing following and or listening to the final 10 games of the Minnesota Vikings 2020 season. Wayne Larrivee, play-by-play voice, the dagger for the Green Bay Packers around the corner. Good morning, hashtag Faith Family. We got some cash to give away right now.
The Fan and Wixon Jewelers want to give you a shot to put a grand in your hand. Every hour, a new keyword, a new chance to win $1,000. This hour's keyword is happy. Are you happy on a Wednesday morning? Text happy to 200-200. Text happy to 200-200.
A mouse, H-A-P-P-Y.
Text happy to 200-200. Chance to win $1,000. Text message and data rates apply. Mr. Larrivee is next.
In the shotgun, slot left. Jamal Williams, the left side of the quarterback, handoff. Jamal. He walks into the end zone. Right guard touchdown. Untouched. Jamal Williams finishes it off. And a dagger for Jamal. The Packers extend 34-13.
No confusion with those Green Bay Packers right now. WTMJ, Packers Radio Network.
Hi, Wayne. Paul Allen, how are you?
Good, PA. How are you?
Pretty well, thank you. So if the favored team runs away from my favorite team in the fourth quarter, Lambeau Field, this weekend, Secretariat, is it affirmed? Is it American Pharoah? Which horse racing tie are you going to use this time, Wayne? And good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and we're coming up on the Breeders' Cup, too, which for you and I is a national holiday. So I'm hoping to get that weekend off.
Well, just remember, because you're next level, so you're going to look for a reference you have not used, and you buried us, excuse me, you've used Secretariat, American Pharoah. Just remember, Zenyatta was a filly. So if you got Zenyatta running away from somebody, technically you got a lady running away from a bunch of men, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. No, you're right.
Wayne
Larrivee. Now that you've put it in the back of my mind, though, I'm getting worried.
I'm trying to mess you up. So, I mean, if I even have 2% to do with a messed up dagger, my job is done. I mean, in the 1-5, my job is done. So, hey, we're going to roll in there with Dalvin Cook off a bye. You know, maybe a new right guard and all these kids in the secondary, no fans. Rodgers has never played better. Back to that first game, the one at U.S. Bank Stadium. You know, I've said this repeatedly on my radio show, you know, and you've called games markedly longer than me, including Super Bowls. So with that said, the Aaron Rodgers performance against the Vikings week one was the single most in-control, dominating quarterback performance I've ever seen live in a Minnesota Vikings game. And did you feel that way about Rodgers in that first game, like you've never seen better?
Well, I don't know if to say never seen better because, you know, he's had so many great games and great moments. I think that was one of them. He was in control. But, you know, PA, that was a good time to get the Vikings. You had a lot of new players. I mean, Justin Jefferson was just getting his feet wet. You had those kids in the secondary who, you know, the Danzler kid, it looks really good to me on tape. And you know, Jeff Gladney and those guys, everything was kind of new to them. So for the Packers, it was a good time to go to Minnesota and with a relatively veteran offense play those young guys because they're just going to get better. And that's what I see as the season's gone along in the secondary. They've got other problems. But was Rodgers in control that day? Yes. It was one of his better performances, in my opinion, of course.
Mounds View, Minnesota's Billy Turner dusted off, moved over to left tackle, filling in for Bakhtiari against the Texans. Looked to me like he did pretty well. Billy Turner, right guard, right tackle, left tackle. That's football manna from heaven, having that position flexibility, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Elton Jenkins, the left guard, could also play tackle and has this season. And, of course, Elton was a center in college his last year. So the Packers have always had guys who, for the most part, can play multiple positions on that line. And it's helped them get through some of these injury woes that they've had. But I will give this, the game plan was well executed. And the game plan Sunday was to get rid of the football, get it out on time, get it out quickly, don't extend plays. Everything was pretty short for the most part. And then Rodgers took his shots downfield a little bit later on. But they got into a rhythm with the short passing game very quick and didn't allow pressure to precipitate on some of those offensive linemen who were playing out of position. Rick Wagner on the right side, better suited for that side. And then Billy Turner, of course, exposed on the left side. And as you mentioned, he did a nice job, but I think the scheme helped him out as well.
Man, the Mike Pettine does a good job. You know, when you guys came to U.S. Bank Stadium last year for the penultimate game of the season, no Dalvin Cook, no Alexander Mattison, just some things he did in that game that were non-obvious really impressed me. You know, and now starting to memorize green and gold numbers and kind of watch some things they've done the last couple of games. With Kenny Clark back, when you mug the A-gaps with Za'Darius Smith, and when you move him inside and you have Clark in there too, I mean, that's like atopic headache with those two in there, you know?
I can't agree with you more. And you know, Paul, the thing that's interesting to me is we, as fans, have all focused on the you know, spread offenses and everything on the perimeter with wide receivers and things like that. What we're seeing is that more of the game is being played between the tackles, and you've got to be strong there. Tampa Bay has two inside linebackers that are playing lights out, and it's one of the reasons why they're probably the best defensive team in the league right now, or one of them anyway. So you've got to be strong up the middle, because it seems like to me a lot of what we're seeing out of spread formations is running plays that begin up the middle, and maybe the back makes a decision to bounce it one way or the other. But point of attack is usually the middle from what I'm seeing, and you've got to be strong there. And, you know, when you put two of your best players, Kenny Clark and Za'Darius Smith there, you've got the middle taken care of.
What, Wayne Larrivee, longtime play-by-play voice for the Green Bay Packers, 9 to noon, 9:28, good morning. What, per our previous conversation, Vikings Green Bay at Minnesota, and you're calling your first game off TV. With those road games off TV for you and Larry, how's it been? Have you adapted, adjusted, and are you enjoying it?
You know, it's interesting. We did not, this past weekend, the game from Houston, we did not have an all 22 for the entire first half.
Oh.
And trying to call radio off of TV pictures, like, for example, you know, the TV picture comes on, and we didn't even see a coin toss. All of a sudden, the Texans are kicking to the Packers, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. You know what I mean? What happened here? So that was a challenge. That really was. We got the all 22 for the second half, and it was a little better. But I don't know about you. I prefer to see it live. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, so do I. But, I mean, in that Texans game, you guys are going along so well outside of that Bucs game. Might have been God's way to try to jack with your dagger, throw you off early. You're going to beat the Texans. I mean, you can give 75%. You're still going to beat that team. You guys are so good right now. So, I don't know. Might have been a higher power trying to mess with your dagger.
Oh, gosh. That doesn't sound right, Paul. I think we better check with the FCC before we start to going along those lines.
Okay, so, you know, you have that tired conversation into the season, you know, where so many know so much more than, like, general managers. And it doesn't mean, like, next-level Goody, Spielman, any of them are right all the time. Of course they're not. But, I mean, it was so loud about, you know, not having receivers in the draft. And you lose Alan Lazard, which I know it has to hurt. He's good. But now we got Taylor with a touchdown catch. Sternberger, one-handed touchdown catch. Tonyan, never has been more consistent. Davante Adams in that Texans game, it's the best I've ever seen him look. He was so unbelievably fast in that game. You know, what I'm getting at here is the GM has a plan, and the plan is working. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, one of the things the Packers can do, and when you have a quarterback like the Packers have, and there are a few teams that have quarterbacks like this, maybe you don't have to invest the first round draft choice in a wide receiver type of thing. You know, I think it's great if you do. I'm just amazed at Justin Jefferson and how quickly he is. Hey, listen, Stephon Diggs, that guy's an afterthought now, the way Jefferson is playing. You'd like to have those guys, but I don't know if you really absolutely need them, because you have a quarterback who can make receivers around him better than they maybe would have been with another quarterback throwing them the football. So I think that's a luxury, and now you can invest in other parts of the team. And you're exactly right about it. You know, Rick Spielman, I've known him since our days in Chicago together. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him and George Payton in that front office. They along with Gutekunst, it's the toughest part of the business, Paul, is to identify who can help, who's good, who's going to be good down the road, and how you can keep these assets once you get under the salary cap. So, their job is tough, but these are two of the best front offices, in my opinion, in the league.
Well, with T. Higgins now with Cincinnati and Chase Claypool with the Steelers, I mean, yeah, they fit. Yeah, they fit with Rodgers, and they would definitely have rookie of the year aspirations. But, you know, in obviously you got the quarterback, which they like, and somebody for whom they're willing to wait. But part of the narrative for that fan base, I remind them, is don't forget about the Smiths, Adrian Amos, and Darnell Savage. I mean, that safety tandem with Amos and Savage, I love it. And you know, that was antithetical to the way the Packers had rolled in free agency. So that's part of the conversation, too.
Yeah, and of course, everything with Green Bay is contingent upon. They've got some major contracts coming up next year.
Good.
David Bakhtiari, obviously, the left tackle. Aaron Jones, the explosive running back. Jamal Williams, who filled in so well at Houston, among others, that they've got to figure out how to pay and how to fit under a salary cap that may shrink next year rather than go up.
Last one, Wayne, and thanks for the time. Weird question. I just got it on Twitter from a dedicated listener, Venet V. Virginia. Wayne, have you ever called a dagger and the other team came back to win?
Yes. Yeah, it's happened.
It has?
It happened most prominently at Seattle in 2012 on the Fail Mary, Russell Wilson, that pass play. So, yeah, but I always say that was the one replacement officials got wrong, and it cost them all their jobs afterwards. Well,
I mean, if we're looking at 30 to 40 years of daggers and we've only missed one, that's a track record on which we can wager. Thank you very much, Wayne. I won't be seeing you this weekend. TV copy, all 22, whole thing. Fire a bullet, as you are wont to do. Tell Larry McCarron, yours truly says hello, and we'll talk soon, okay?
You bet, pal. Take care. Thanks.
See you, bud. Wayne Larrivee. And there is your FAN.
Rodgers in the shotgun, slot left. Jamal Williams on the left side of the quarterback. Handoff, Jamal. He walks into the end zone. Right guard touchdown. Untouched, Jamal Williams finishes it off. And a dagger for Jamal. The Packers extend 34-13.
Hey, that's Wayne on the call. Welcome back. I'm Lenny Swanson. This is the Title Town Podcast on K-Hick, available on the iHeartRadio app. And, of course, it's presented every week by Quick Trip. And it's $1 per episode. We do accept checks, and the proceeds go to support the dairy farmers of Wisconsin. You can learn more at wisconsindairy.org. That's .org. And joining me now, they call it the border battle. We call it the upcoming sixth victory. But the voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, who calls the games on the radio for the Purple, he joins me now. How are you this morning, Paul?
Hey, Lenny. It's always great joining you yearly. And Quick Trip, based in La Crosse. You know, there aren't many things we like about Wisconsin on this side of the river. But Quick Trip and everything they do in La Crosse, specifically for us here in Minnesota, fantastic company. Mark Meisner, wonderful, wonderful work. And Lenny, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. And you guys get Quick Trip from us. We get Kamal Martin from you. So I feel like that is an adequate trade-off. Excited to see the former Gopher play for the Packers this weekend. Now, 1-5, Paul, I can't imagine what that feels like. How do people in Minnesota get out of bed every morning?
Well, you know, we in this part of the country, Lenny, you know, given we have Wi-Fi and given we have Mall of America and all of our streets are not laden with tractors, you know, we are able to live our lives in a certain way where, of course, we want the Vikings to win, but we have diversions. And specifically with that Wi-Fi component, you know, we just have capabilities of doing things here that they don't in Wisconsin. So do we like it? No. But do we have other things to do? Yes.
Do you think this is karma for when Anthony Barr intentionally hurt Aaron in 2017?
Well, that's a very difficult question, Lenny. Is it a karmic convergence from 2017? Fair question. you know, maybe if Aaron learned how to land a little better, that wouldn't have happened. So, you know, I'm certainly not going to put the onus of that injury on Aaron not sticking the landing, but Anthony meant no ill will. And you know what? You're not going to have to worry about Anthony this game because he's out of the season. So he's out for the season. So there's that.
Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings. Of course, they're coming to Lambeau on Sunday afternoon for kickoff and eventually another loss in the border battle, a sweep for Mr. LaFleur. 6-1 Green Bay Packers upcoming on Sunday. So I was at Pizza Hut in Wausau the other day, Paul, and I heard the Vikings recently traded Yannick so that he wouldn't have to face David Bakhti. It is Ngakoue.
Yeah, it's Ngakoue, Lenny.
See, over here, when we can't pronounce a name, we give them cool nicknames like KGB.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in Minnesota or where Unique is from, unlike Wisconsin, not every name is Ethel or Herb or Shirley or Sigmund, but anyway.
But I heard he was traded so he wouldn't have to face David Bakhtiari again. Is that accurate?
Well, no, that's not accurate because, quite honestly, the skeletal remains of Bakhtiari at this stage with that injury, I think even Unique probably would have run around him. Now, you know, with your team, you have a left tackle from that Texans game named Billy Turner. And, you know, in watching back the Texans game, Billy, quite honestly, at left tackle played as well as we've ever seen him play. But, you know, given he's from Minnesota and he was raised in this wonderful state, this football-loving state, which could be pondering a self-proclaimed nickname, Lenny, from state of hockey to state of football, because of the Minnesota Vikings. So with what Turner did last week, the fact that he's Minnesota raised, man, that really was no surprise to us.
Well, mom's calling. I'll have to get back to her shortly. Hey, I was thinking about this the other day, and the toughest thing with your team right now, Kirk Cousins, you know, it's kind of like running out of Bloody Mary mix before church is over. It's just a letdown. What is going on with Kirk?
Well, that's another very interesting question, Lenny. You know, in three games up to that Atlanta game, you know, there mostly were things done where you can win games with Kirk. You know, we had some turnovers in the Tennessee and Seattle game that kind of foiled it a little bit. The Atlanta game was it's just an unadulterated disaster. That's really the only way to put it. Three interceptions in the first half. You know, I felt while calling the Vikings-Packers game at the Palatial Purple Paradise, known as U.S. Bank Stadium, I felt Kirk threw the ball to Deion Jones first play of the game to let Atlanta feel like it has a chance. You know, Kirk, being a man of the gospel, he is going to want people to feel like they have a chance and to persevere through that losing tribulation. So I can understand what he was doing early. And quite honestly, I thought it was giving extravagantly. I thought it was caring about others more than yourself. But then they just kept coming. And now all of a sudden you got this crap team about to blow us out. So we needed the bye. We needed to rest. And we will come to Lambeau Field full of vengeance this Sunday, Lenny.
This is the Title Town Podcast, and I am Lenny Swanson. It's Kay Hick, an iHeartRadio production brought to you by Quick Trip. And it is $1 per episode, as I mentioned earlier, but we do accept checks, and that all goes to WisconsinDairy.org. At 1-5, Paul, is your team trying to win games? Are you actually trying to improve your record? Are you trying to get better and lose? This is very unfamiliar territory for most Packers fans. But yeah. What is the mindset for the purple and gold at this point?
Well, Lenny, of course, they're trying to win. I mean, they're compensated professionals who would not lay down for, like, flop for Fields or tribulation for Trevor or tumulta for Trey, as in Trey Lance. It's really, quite honestly, very disrespectful you would even go down that road where, you know, if I'm you, given working at KFAN, we're in the vast and ever-expanding iHeartRadio network, just like you, so technically we're teammates.
Never heard of it.
You know, but we have access to all of the podcast numbers with the narrowcasting network. And, you know, Lenny, we've seen your podcast numbers and or hits or lack thereof. And, you know, let's just put it this way. If you are looking to secure a DeMontis, what's a DeMontis? Well, it's Sabonis. None of us are going to get there with your amount of podcast hits. So sorry to take a shot at you, Lenny, and your weak podcast. But I mean, after six consecutive shots, which all were of the low hanging fruit variety, I just got sick of it. It's obvious at 1-5 with all these injuries and the kids in the secondary and stuff that things aren't going well. But we are praiseworthy. You know, we are praiseworthy for playing a team that was wrought with COVID. And we got out of it with zero positives. So we have that going for us.
Absolutely. When I think of the Vikings, Paul, I do think of zero positives. The thing with this weekend, so I was at the bar peeing, and the guy walked up to the sink next to me, and he told me Dalvin Cook might play. Is Dalvin going to play for your team on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I have that answer, but I'm not going to share it with you because, you know, it's not that I worry about a podcast to which nobody listens leaking to the Green and Gold, specifically Next Level LaFleur. But, yeah, there's no reason to share that information. I mean, after he goes for 185-3 against you, I think you'll have your answer.
What is exciting about now, Yannick, and I'll allow you to pronounce it, he's no longer with the team, the opportunity to see some young players this Sunday trying to, most likely failing, but trying to get after Aaron?
Lenny, let's just put it this way. What DJ Wonnum, fourth-round rookie from South Carolina, is going to do to Rick Wagner this weekend, it's savagery that will make Hannibal Lecter blush. It is domination that, quite honestly, people in that state have not seen on that field since the great Reggie White was wearing green and gold. Just wait. His name is DJ Wonnum, 98 on his uniform, number one in our hearts.
Yeah, DJ Wonnum to take the week off. Thank you so much, Paul Allen,
yeah,
and
thank you,
again,
Lenny.
Appreciate it. That's Paul Allen, voice of the Vikings, brought to you by Quick Trip and, of course, the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Thank you for all your support and listening. It is the Titletown Podcast, available on the iHeartRadio app, and your donations are generously accepted.
The Fan.
Hey, Len, I mean, hey, Nordo.
Hey, what's up, man?
We got that Zimmer piece in 1 minute, right?
Yes. So, I'm awaiting the Zoom, the head coach to pop up.
Yeah, in interviewing Mike yesterday for X's and O's this evening on the vast and ever-expanding KFAN Minnesota Vikings Radio Network, when we were rhapsodizing, I mean, chatting about A-Rodge, I really hope when he's asked about Aaron today, he shares an example he used from Packers at New Orleans.
Okay.
In something he said to describe Rodgers at that moment in that game. So that's coming up shortly. Wondering, given they haven't practiced yet today, but they practiced earlier in the week. I'm not sure what the media availability has been. But my Qs missed the Atlanta Falcons game. You know, we have some neck-related scenarios with Hughes, according to the injury report. So moving forward, I don't think it's all cheery and everything with Mike Hughes from an injury standpoint. Super sad too. You know, think about that, man. You're a first round pick. Your very first game, you pick off the guy with the high cheekbones and the almond shaped eyes.
Start your career with a touchdown
in the end zone.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's all going to be beautiful from there. And for Mike, it's just been start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. And he's missed so many games due to injury, man. And, you know, I feel bad for him. And we'll see what his lot in life looks like for the rest of the season, if that's something that will be addressed today. And, in fact, let's go to Zimby and Zim.
Yeah, everything went well, so looking for him to get
back. Hey, Lenny, ask a question.
You know, when you guys give me crap about this thing being a tweak, when it all started, he woke up, he thought he slept on his neck wrong, so that's why it was a tweak. All right, questions?
Mike, when did you figure out it was not a tweak?
Once he got his MRI.
When did he first have the MRI?
I don't know, Ben. That was sometime during training camp.
Is that just kind of the year it's been for you?
Yeah, it's been terrific. Yeah, I mean, we counted up the total lost games of players on defense this year. And, you know, when you talk about guys, you forget about Ben Gideon, Cam Smith, Michael Pierce, Danielle Hunter. I mean, there's Anthony Barr. You know, there's more and more and more. So, well, these young guys are fighting through it. We're trying to get better and doing the best we can here.
I know you said, Mike, that he woke up thinking he slept in it wrong. Do you know how it happened? Did he hit somebody in practice awkwardly or something along those lines? Or
no, it was very it was hardly anything. When we went back and looked at the tape from previous, I don't know, whatever it was, a week later, it was, I mean, it could happen to anybody at any point.
Mike, with all the injuries, COVID, and the record right now, is it tougher for you and the coaching staff to keep everybody engaged and keep everybody, you know, playing as if, you know, as if every game counts as much as it did before?
Well, I think that's part of the challenge, to make sure that these guys understand that, you know, we've got a job to do and we got to go out there and do it. Not so much the coaches, obviously, but, you know, we just keep fighting, and these young guys, they got to continue to learn how to grow and you know, when you get into a tough situation, how to suck it up. You know, obviously the COVID and all the protocols don't help with everything, but you know, it's the way life is right now for a lot of people. We're not the only ones.
Hey, Mike, with Daniil, is this something he can make a full recovery from, and you guys expect him to be ready by this spring even?
I don't know exactly the timetable, but yeah, he should be back and playing football again.
Hey, Mike, what do you think of Matt LaFleur as a guy that play caller, play designer, a guy that creates mismatches, particularly with Davante Adams?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, obviously LaFleur's doing a great job. You know, he's got a great trigger man that manipulates a lot of plays, manipulates a lot of defense. But they're doing a great job with the scheme of keeping you off balance as well.
There was that first game, I think it was his fourth catch. Toward the end of the first quarter, they had five receivers, three on the left, and Devontae's the guy furthest inside, which creates a situation, I guess, where you have no other choice but to cover him with Kendricks. Is that an example of the kind of things that he stresses a defense with?
Well, Mark, everybody does that. I mean, yeah. That's, you know, it's not really anything unusual. It's, you know, it's getting the ball to the right place, really. I don't recall which one you're talking about, but yeah, I mean,
he catches the ball over the middle against Kendricks, makes a move on Kendricks, and then
yeah.
Wilson now, flips him.
Yeah, we also have to be in zone on that particular play. You know, just way it goes. Sometimes, you know, that happens. I know everybody makes a big deal about that, but usually when a linebacker is on a wide receiver, it's not man-to-man. It's some kind of zone. And, you know, it's could be, you know, safety over the top help. It could be safety from the backside helping. But, yes, yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. That happens all over the league.
Yeah, I mean, how tough is a coverage, even in a zone situation for a linebacker to do that? I mean,
well, Kendricks is pretty good, and you know, so I get the question you're asking. That's why linebackers have to be able to cover nowadays, you know. But if you go play man to man, then they throw, you know, crossing routes like they did and pick routes on us. So, you know, you have to pick your poison. And obviously, Davante Adams is a great player. Rodgers sees everything. He's a great player. And Aaron Jones is a great player.
Mike, with Kirk Cousins having the interception issues, what are the points of emphasis, you know, since the Atlanta game and heading into Green Bay regarding those difficulties Cousins has had?
Well, we can't turn the ball over. We're minus seven, I believe, in turnovers. So we've got to possess the ball. That's the only way we can win football games here is by possessing the ball. We can't turn the ball over. We got to be smart with the football. We got to protect it, whether it's in the pocket or whether it's the running back or the wide receivers. But we just can't turn the ball over. We don't have enough firepower to overcome that right now.
Is there any particular points of emphasis just regarding Kirk?
Yeah, interceptions? Well, there's lots of points of emphasis. His part starts with his feet, starts with making sure that he doesn't predetermine routes. I mean, there's so many things that we talk about.
Rick said last week.
Go ahead, sorry.
Sorry, it's my fault. Rick said last week that he hasn't, like, no one's lost faith in Cousins in spite of, you know, the poor start that he's had this year. How do you relay that to him to kind of keep his confidence going so he doesn't find himself getting into a rut?
Well, you know, the biggest thing, Courtney, is an old coach told me one time when you don't play as well as you hope to, it's what are you going to do when you get back in the huddle on Monday when they're all looking at you? You got to go in there and you got to prove that you're the guy. You got to go back in and do it. You got to go back out and fight. You got to go back out and show that everybody that you're the guy that they can rely on. And so that's really what it's all about. And that's kind of what I've told them before. You know, if everybody's looking at you now, what are you going to do?
Mike, after the Ngakoue trade, have any of the veteran players spoke with you about any concerns about just the staying competitive this season or any of their individual situations?
No, none.
Hey, Mike, with the kind of injury that Dalvin Cook's dealing with, does he need to show you stuff in practice this week, enough, I guess, this week to kind of show you he can be ready for Sunday?
Yeah, I assume that he'll be ready. You know, we haven't practiced yet today, but today will be a good test for us.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I just wanted to clarify, you expect him to be out there today?
Yeah, he'll be out there today.
Mike, when it comes to developing players, there seems to be, you know, peaks and valleys with guys, and I wonder how you deal with knowing when someone is making progress, even if they have setbacks or bad games or things like that.
Well, I think in general, you look at the good plays and you kind of compartmentalize, you know, what the really tough plays that they're having to make as opposed to the routine plays. And so then you look at those things and you figure that. And quite honestly, it's no different than in scouting. If you see a player do something really, really good once, you know, you typically can see him do it again and again and again. It just, a lot of it is building the confidence of these young players. It's a lot of it is, okay, is the technique the same all the time? Or is it one time it's this and one time it's that? But it really comes down to those three things.
Time for two more.
Mike, you've had injuries with cornerbacks, Hughes, Hill, and Boyd. How many of those guys do you expect to be able to play on Sunday against Green Bay?
I don't know. We'll have to see today at practice.
What was the thinking on picking up two extra cornerbacks the other day? Was it?
We've had guys hurt. I mean, what else? You know, it's a 5-day. Before they can enter. So if guys are hurt, it's going to take a while for them to get up to speed, and we don't know if these other guys can play or not, so we'll just see.
Thank you.
Thank you. Whoa, Lenny.
Wow.
I mean, right out of the gate, and I, you know, I've shared this with you off the radio, and we've talked about it a little bit, because Mike is telling the truth about the, quote, tweak, end quote.
Yes.
It's just viewing things from afar, you know, like specifically with social media and seeing in the age of rage the things that frustrate people so badly. Like, well, yeah, it's a tweak. He's out for the season. Well, I mean, no, it was a tweak. I mean, the way Mike laid it out, and then something in a practice, like you said, he looked back at it, and they look at it, and they're like, whoa, you know, this woke up this way, and this little thing. I mean,
yeah, a seemingly innocuous moment within a practice.
And that's what it was. It was a tweak. I mean, he led his press conference with what he hoped was a 75-yard verbal double move on the media with the tweak. You know, and he's telling the truth. I just, you know, it's I don't know what frustrated him to that stage, so that, you know, the tweak terrorism's weeks old. Unless it's popping up on social media now and I'm not seeing it.
Well, I've kind of become desensitized to it because I remember kind of the concept is every week that Daniil either wasn't practicing or, and especially when he went on IR at the beginning of the year.
99 problems.
Oh, just a tweak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, geez. You know, I stubbed my toe. It's just a tweak.
Yeah.
And so the
well, you have tweak tolerance.
The sarcastic nature that people handled it, I think, was, you know, they want to get all the intel.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's born of, if you're reporting on these things, if you're Courtney Cronin or if you're Thomason, whoever, you want as much intel as you can get.
Right.
And so when you just hear it's a tweak and you want to be able to figure out, well, okay, well, this Ngakoue thing isn't working perfectly. And
yeah.
I don't know what Jalen Holmes is doing out there most plays. You guys need 99 back in the mix. This can't just be a tweak. And so I assume that stuff boils over for the coach. I mean, we can see how, you know, and I don't know if it's forced or if it's just natural. You know, the quote unquote Zim being Zim that sometimes we can laugh at and is endearing, it's sometimes very contentious when things are negative, and he's going to give you as much as he can or wants to, but he's going to be truthful as much as he can in that process.
Like with those corners at practice today. You know, Thomason at the end, Hughes, Boyd, Hill. You know, they all were on or are on the injury report for a team that for the first time since Zim has been here, they have questions within the secondary, largely due to the youth and no preseason games and the virtual offseason. I mean,
yeah.
I shared it with you last week before the vocal maintenance days. I'm going to miss this number by somewhere 10 either way, but you'll get the point. Is the Vikings this season, 2020, have had 550 snaps.
Yeah, somewhere in that area, yeah.
From rookie cornerbacks.
Oof.
In Zimmer's first 6 years, 2014 to 2019, a grand total of 940 snaps for rookie corners.
Which means by the end of this season, he will have well surpassed that 940-some number. To the tune, I mean, we're on pace for about 1,200 rookie corner snaps.
So now you look at that. You got 99 problems. You lose Lenny's favorite player, Anthony Barr.
Yeah.
And you already are working on things on your offensive line. And I'm not going to say, how do you win? Because they had no 99 problems or Barr and kid corners at Seattle. And they should have won that game.
Should have.
They should have won. They did beat the Texans, but the Texans is ratty. And before that, the Titans game, they could have won. I mean, you hold that thing with Henry. No Brown. You got this Khalif Raymond thing channeling his inner Golden Richards.
Yeah.
And you can't stop it. And
you just couldn't get off the field.
Yeah.
Couldn't get rid of Tanny.
I mean, you spend all week making sure you don't get burned by Jonnu Smith, and then something called Khalif Raymond is running up and down the field. That along with everything else, is kind of like, man, how do you win?
Yeah.
You know, and from a how do you win standpoint, I have an answer that I will share around the corner, because this is a winnable game, and 9 to noon is not offended. The best team in the NFC North is favored by a touchdown in this game. But there was one thing specifically Zimmer said during his 10 a.m. Wednesday piece that bears repeating and analyzing, and also playing a kids game this Sunday potentially could lead you to beating these men.
Ooh.
I will share that around the corner, but we got that cash thing right now.
Yeah, we certainly do. Before we offer a promise, let me offer an opportunity.
Lenny, I remembered the promise.
The Fan and Wixon Jewelers want to give you a shot to put a grand in your hand every hour, a new keyword. This hour's keyword is family. Text family to 200-200. Text family to 200-200. Might win $1,000. Text family to 200-200. Text message and data rates apply. Give us that promise.
Well, the promise is if you are looking to sell a home, you get with Josh Pomerlo and the Pomerlo team at J.P. Willman Realty Twin Cities, and you let them do their thing with the, quote, promise, end quote. What that is you get together with said team, and you come up with a number for the spot, and you come up with the date you want it sold. If Team Pomerlo doesn't hit it, they buy the place from you. That's the promise. Learn more at PomerloTeam.com. Now, on the other side of the equation, if you are buying a home, go to PomerloTeam.com and click on buying. Read some of these testimonials, including one from Greg J., a fan listener, he writes, consistently heard the radio ads. While I didn't anticipate choosing them, I thought I'd give them a shot in an interview setting. Now, after our buying and selling processes have concluded, the Pomerlo team will be my first phone call. So many of those, because the promise is real. PomerloTeam.com, Pomerlo Team. Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak, 10 minutes from now. A daily feature, bottom of the hour, 10 o'clock hour, 9 to noon, courtesy of Pilot Games. At 11 o'clock, the weekly celebration of the Farmer on the Fan. Farmers listening to the Fan, knowing the weather as we go in this part of the world, is going to take a positive turn. What does that mean for farmers? And the level of appreciation and respect 9 to noon has for Farming Nation in the state of Minnesota will be celebrated at 11 o'clock. It is hashtag Fan on the Farm. Then after that, we have constructed what we feel is fair to share, and it is a Rube's Guide, kind of a how-to. We would never say for dummies. It's for Rubes.
Yeah.
It's a how-to when watching and or listening to the Vikings through the final 10 games and from 1-5. That's at about 11:15 or 11:20. Zimmer, in his press conference, in talking about keeping up with Green Bay or playing a game a certain way, with deficiencies on defense for the Vikings that are quite obvious, quote, we don't have enough firepower, end quote.
You're breaking up, Bob.
Time for no more after I hear that.
Oh, well.
I mean, we've gotten explosive with Thielen, Jefferson. I believe Dalvin plays this weekend. We've gotten explosive with Dalvin. Irv's starting to get a little explosive. BC and BB ain't been explosive. Big Boy gets explosive in the red zone with those one-handed catches. What do you think the head coach meant when he was like, quote, we don't have enough firepower, end quote?
Well, the only game that the Vikings have won this year happens to also be the only game in which they have not turned the ball over. So that would be week four against Houston. Yeah. So, you know, fresh,
that's what it was.
Fresh on the head coach's mind, you think about it, and he's right. You know, as good as you can be excited, you can be excited about what Kirk did in Seattle and how close they were to winning Tennessee despite a loss and the aforementioned Texans victory. You can be happy about all of that, but when you watch your quarterback go out there and throw three picks in the first half against a winless Atlanta Falcons team, It doesn't matter how explosive you are in the second half and you make it somewhat interesting, or maybe even to those that just look at box scores, more palatable.
Yeah.
This team definitely does not have enough firepower, whether it's offensively with the way that they've played in half their games this year, but then defensively when you think about the lopsided games from a possession of the ball standpoint. So time of possession with the Packers was historically bad.
Yeah.
It was almost as bad in the Indianapolis game week two.
That Packers game, we had the ball 18 and change, right?
Yeah, and it was like the first time in 40 years
yeah.
since they started keeping the stats
yeah.
that they had had so little offensive possession.
Bastards.
And so then, but then you see three games of almost a reprieve. It's you're at the reflecting pool, and there's something positive happening. But then you immediately regress
yeah.
as poorly, as drastically and awful as you did.
That's one of the most zany things I have seen, and we get it, man. We see the kid corners. We know Dalvin didn't. I mean, we yeah. understand. Ezra Cleveland debuting at right guard didn't go great. Why would it? He's never played it. We understand all that. But to go from that energy trip against Seattle to that unadulterated freaking buzzkill against Atlanta. Wow. I mean, okay, if you lose, you lose. But like that? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and you know, this Vikings, I thought they threw every punch they had in that Seahawks game. And they overcome what was one of the most disappointing performances we've ever seen from an offensive lineman, at least in my time as a Vikings fan, with Drew Samia, all the holding penalties, and just some issues that the young kid has to work through to continue his NFL career. And you're on the brink, and you needed that one. That was the one you needed, and you couldn't get it. So, you know, when Zimmer's talking about firepower, I look at it from an offensive perspective. Stop throwing the ball to the other team, Kirk. Mm-hmm. We can't afford that. But you combine that with the fact that in the Falcons game, you know, watching Jeff Gladney standing next to what looks like kid standing with his dad in Julio Jones. Those are the types of matchups and things that they have defensively that they also cannot overcome. So Zimmer knows if we want to win any games this year, we got to score 30 points. 30 yep. points is the standard.
Yep.
And then hold on to your butts
yep.
When it comes defensively.
Like in this, in Pigskin and the Purge, this day and age of the NFL with the unprecedented scoring, you know, if you watched Monday Night Football, okay, not the most stylistically sound game, but the Bears play defense and protect Falls. The Rams play defense to a certain extent, protect Goff, but they protect that running game where they're still trying to figure it out. And, you know, the Rams are, it's not great a show on turf type stuff. They're going to win games like that. So that looked like a game, a lower scoring game that we have seen for quite some time. Outside of that, you know, it's seriously like the bar, the Anthony for what is acceptable defense points per game wise
yeah.
to legitimately call yourself a good defense. I mean, it would be 17, 18, 16, 17, 18 back right. in the day. What is it now? 24?
Yeah, that's
25, 26. I mean, if you hold the opposition on average to 23 points a game or less, then we feel we have a good chance to win, which is football blasphemy, football sacrilege. You'd never hear coaches talk like that, and I haven't. So I'm spitballing, just thinking, like in with Pigskin in the Purge, 23.5 points per game on average, you can win a bunch of games with that.
You certainly can, but that's the issue that the Vikings have, is that holding a team to 23 points right now yeah. seems like you're climbing Everest with no oxygen tank.
Stop.
I mean, it's but that's the state of reality, and I think that the head coach, mm-hmm. you know, who by the way is pretty good at coaching defense, his previous six seasons were not outliers. I mean, that's what you're going to get when you properly give the right firepower to your head coach. And so and from minute one, you know, we kind of joked about it, but it is a thing where it used to be score 21, guys. I mean, can you just go out there and run yeah. the ball and score 21? And, yeah. and guess what? When you score 21, you're going to win the freaking game.
And with Zimmer, you're going to get a veteran-laden defense that can get to the NFC title game with a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
They can win a division with too much time for Teddy managing the game to not kill the game while not getting super explosive to, like, I don't know, super special Mike Wallace. But you're going to find a way to win 11 games, and then you're going to get to the playoffs, and you're going to construct that biatch, despite the Captain Munner Linnell. You are going to construct that thing a certain way where you're going to win the game with a field goal.
Yep.
And then it goes amiss. You know, so, okay, Cousins, you know, Cousins is better than Case Keenum. He's a better quarterback than Case Keenum.
Absolutely.
And now you got Dalvin, you got all the popular names we know. So the identity of this team into the season with these kid corners, 99 problems, three technique turmoil, is offense.
Yeah.
Well, the identity of the team, a Mike Zimmer team, is offense. Well, that right there doesn't make sense.
Correct.
You know, so now it's the waiting, copyright Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. The waiting is the hardest part with these kids. And speaking of kids, you know, I would imagine most kids played this game when they were young. And I'm not talking about
electric football,
hide and seek. Okay. We have hidden from finding a way to beat Seattle, and we seek victories, quarterbacks, offensive linemen, three techniques in the draft. What are other kid games? Kickball. I mean,
kickball, kick the can.
Yeah, we've had kicked enough in the 2020 season. It
yes,
ain't
we
that
have.
Game. You want a kid's game that can help you win this game?
Freeze tag?
I've shared this before, and this weekend is not one of those games. And if it was, I can't say that I would say it, but there have been, in the whatever amount of games I have called Vikings games, there have been two times in my career where, coming into a game, I knew our favorite team had absolutely zero chance. Zero. And the most recent was 2011. It was a Vikings team that was 2-12 or 2-11 at the time. And it was 2011. Ponders the quarterback.
Oof.
And Drew Brees and the Saints came to Metrodome. And he was sitting on, like, 9 records into that game, and I can't remember what they were. One of them was, I'm guessing, but it was amount of 5 touchdown games at a certain point of his career.
Oh, come on.
Well, he threw 5 touchdowns.
He did, yes.
And 0 interceptions. And it was just a vibe into that game where, I mean, you're a 2-win operation. You got Breeze going, great guns. We're not going to win. We can't win. We cannot win. 2006, I've shared this with you before, the final game on an extremely snowy Minneapolis day, I believe it was New Year's Eve, and final game of a 6-10 season, Chili Ball's first season, kick-ass offense, copyright 3 to 6:30. And it was the only game left in the season, but it was the first game after Brad Childress had cut Marcus Robinson on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Which, outside of some Love Boat fallout that was behind the scenes, kind of like, why'd you say that in the media about the Love Boat? You weren't on it. How come you don't have our backs? What do you mean I don't have your back? Oh, hey, you guys are on the same team. Get away from each other. Stop.
Yeah.
Outside of some stuff that pops up occasionally, the aggravation and the frustration players had with one of their comrades being cut on Christmas Eve.
Oh my God.
And told to leave and Merry Christmas.
You have to go.
Yeah. We against the Rams, we had no shot, A. But B, the Rams were coached by Scott Linehan, former Vikings offensive coordinator. And Linehan, full of piss and vigor when he came here, remembered back to what I believe was 04, but it might have been 02. And they're in a very tightly contested game with Seattle. And they're inside the 20, close to the 15. When you're that deep in the red area, rarely do you see an end around and the receiver stops and throws a pass. Okay, so Linehan called Moss left to right. He takes the ball, stops, plants, throws to the end zone, intercepted by Michael Boulware.
Oh, no.
Back right of the end zone. HOF freak with an interception. Well, the for whatever the reason, I don't know how or what led to Rubes getting Linehan's office phone number, but he comes in the next day to three of the most vile,
oh no,
just lambasting,
yeah,
and vulgar voice messages about that individual play that he never forgot it. Because we're going to lose to the Rams. Chavis was on that Rams team. We're going to lose to the Rams, okay? Stop cut, with all due respect, because I'm fond of Brad, stop cutting players on Christmas Eve,
yeah,
in a two-win season,
yeah,
or a six-win season.
Tell Shelley and Marcus Jr., have a good Christmas.
Yeah. Make him inactive. Make him a healthy scratch and move on. What's the point here in embarrassing somebody like that? So now you got that on our side. Well, on the other side, you got Linehan's team alive for the playoffs Saturday night. Giants, I believe, win or lose, so they can't make the playoffs. So now the Rams,
to win and in.
It's no, they're done.
Oh, they are. Okay,
yeah, but they also want to get their coaches back on something they know is coming. And what was coming, and I believe it was a touchdown, but he did it. What was coming was a Rams play with Torrey Holt going in motion left to right.
Oh no,
taking it from Bulger, throwing to the end zone to Isaac Bruce.
Are you kidding?
And I believe it worked. And I saw him after the game, and I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? You just did that?
That's amazing.
Are you checking to see if it worked?
I'm checking to see if it worked.
I mean, we have run into grudge holders in our lives. All of us have. My God, did you hold that grudge for 2, 3, or 4 years? I believe it was Holt to Bruce or Bruce to Holt, one of the two.
It may have been close, but it was Steven, okay. It was Steven Jackson's day. He had four TDs.
Right. Okay, then the play, then they didn't close on it, but he did it. And hey, it didn't work again. So, but I was like, wow, man, I couldn't believe that you remembered that and you did that.
Yeah, we got Isaac Bruce was 0-1 in his attempts.
There it is.
So he missed it, but they tried it.
Thank you.
Maybe it was Bruce to Holt.
And it was the other side of the Metrodome field. But it was about the same yard line,
yeah,
as Moss to Boulware. And this sucker, Bruce left to right throwing a Holt in the end zone because the three people in my voicemail pissed me off so badly I never forgot. Now, that's holding a grudge. And I knew we couldn't win that game into the game. I don't feel that way this way. You play that kid's game, keep away. That truly
keep
is.
Keep away.
I mean, ooh. We You hit on the turnovers. Yeah, you're right. You got things have to go your way as an underdog in this game with maybe the way the injury report's going to work out this week. It gets even worse, potentially. But playing a game of keep away. Let's watch that time of possession. I mean, Gary, coach, you're coming up around the corner. Construct that sucker so if you need 8, you get 8.5. If you need 7, you get 8. Then you try to strike. Didn't work. 2nd and 10, get 4. On 3rd and 6, get 7. Keep the monster off the field. As rudimentary and as remedial and or pedestrian as it sounds, it's your best chance at victory. Playing a game of keep away.
Time now for the Vikings Report on The Fan. Presented by Pilot Games. Vikings offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak joins PA after this from Pilot.
Mr. Gary Kubiak, Lambeau Sunday, quickly on the Packers. What's more challenging, handling Kenny Clark inside or the Smiths from the angles where they come?
Well, all of it, Paul, because they set edges. They got two great edge players. You don't know when they're coming, when they're not coming, you know, because they do drop a lot as well. And then you got that great inside nose who, you know, gets a lot of one-on-ones inside with your center and your guards and those type of things. So they're very challenging. They play a lot of different defense, you know, collectively, whether it's base, nickel, a lot of different schemes. So they're hard to prepare for. And, you know, we know that. We've been through that with them going into opening week. And we struggled against them last year, so we got to work it out for us. But, you know, we got to stay focused on ourselves and make sure we're taking care.
News. Do-
DeNord.
And News DeNord is brought to you by Canterbury's Card Casino. It's poker, it's blackjack, it's table games. And oh, by the way, it's all year round. So go to CanterburyPark.com to learn more about how you can have fun and win some money at Canterbury Park.
Number one.
Let's start with this, which was, of course, the marquee sporting event last night.
Urias to Adames. Call strike three. The Dodgers win. Finally, the wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of 2020 in a year like no other, where joy has been so hard to come by. Tonight, tears of joy. Let them flow. The curse of 88 is 88 and out the gate, and the Dodgers are celebrating out of the middle of the field. The Dodgers, for the first time since 1988, 32 seasons, are the champions of baseball.
KLAC, I'm sure many Dodgers fans would have hoped that Vin Scully would have been able to call a World Series victory for the Dodgers. Chavez Ravine, party everywhere. But
thank God we didn't bet on Feast 5. I mean, every side piece that we bet and that we've made.
Yeah.
And by the way, they all were my brilliant concoctions. I lost every one.
Yeah.
I mean, I ran last in soccer. I didn't win basketball. And the techie got me for a couple on this series.
Oh, that's right. You bet him at minus 170, didn't you?
No, plus 170. So,
oh, you had the raise, excuse me.
Yeah, yes. But I mean, it could have been plus 1,700, and it doesn't matter at this point because I lost. I lost every single one. Every single one. Giving you money, giving the techie money. That's how it's got to be.
That's how it's got to be. Now, one thing that didn't necessarily have to be was Blake Snell. Much to the dismay of basically everybody.
Wow.
I think one out in the sixth inning, Snell gets the hook from manager Kevin Cash, and here he is explaining and following the game.
Kevin, I know you guys try to be consistent, but can you explain what went into the decision to take out Blake? What was your motive there?
No, I mean, the only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job. And then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions. And that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
Yeah, and that's why everyone's pissed off. It's something we talked about during the Twins and Astros, the two-gamer, is the idea of analytics versus instinct.
Yeah.
And how you mesh those two, and one of the most analytically sound franchises in baseball, of course, would be the Tampa Rays. And Cash basically goes on to explain that this is our process. And having to do it again, he says that he would pull Blake Snell, who threw 5 1/3, I think a total of 2 base runners in the game, a couple of hits. The one run that he was charged for actually after he left, Nick Anderson, I believe one of our own, God bless him, we want him to do great things. He came in a big spot. I think there was a wild pitch that scored one.
Thanks, Nick. Now I got to give the techie a couple hundred.
Yeah, so if you can send him a check, that'd be nice. 1600 Utica Avenue South.
Hey.
But they get the two runs, two batters after Snell leaves. They win 3-1. The news that everybody is...
Hold on here on the Snell thing.
Yeah.
The age of rage, I mean, on social media during that Snell thing, holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean, you got analytics folks, and 9 to noon, specifically in baseball, respects the analytics in the longest of long-form plays.
Long play.
So those who respect and follow the analytics were coming out not only defending the analytics, but also sharing kind of what I think John Smoltz shared when I was listening, but I wasn't listening super closely, about the analytics of certain situations.
Yep.
And like the spot right there. And Smoltz laid it out beautifully, man. I can't exactly remember what he said. But age of rage... Johnny the Mouse Mickelson, captain of the 83 YZ Club hockey team. He's, you know, he and Jimmy Knutson are co-kings of the roofs.
Yep.
I mean, they love everything local. They go to a lot locally. And they are hardworking, honest, sports-loving roofs. And Mouse texted me after Snell got pulled. You know, and then the game went the way it did. Johnny the Mouse Mickelson, captain of the 83 YZ Club hockey team, most formidable club hockey team in the history of the state of hockey. So formidable, Wayne Gretzky couldn't even make the club team. So with that said, texted me paraphrasing something. Imagine you were calling a race at Canterbury, because I've worked with John at Canterbury for a quarter century, and you're calling a perfectly fine race. And, you know, for like the first 7 furlongs of an 8 furlong, 1 mile race. And then all of a sudden, boss Randy Sampson comes up and says, you're out for the final furlong. Your backup, Kevin Gorg, Brian Aragone, they're going to call the final furlong. How would you feel? And I'm like, whoa. But then I saw the Moosey on Twitter. How about this? Age of Rage. I guess Baldelli isn't the only idiot manager out there after all. 29 years ago today, Jack Morris threw a 10-inning shutout to win the World Series. Leave him in. F analytics, use the eye test. Hashtag World Series.
Age of Rage.
I'm not mad at Johnny for that whole thing, by the way.
Wow.
I mean, I think you laid it out there nicely. And
yeah.
I was like, you would have gotten a retweet or a like, because I think your tweet is brilliant. Sans the idiot part,
yeah.
with our local manager, but anyway.
That's correct. Long play numbers versus gut instincts and moments. Feels like Snell could have just stayed in the game.
It's 98.7% wrong to take him out of that game.
It makes no sense.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, first of all, he's the best you have. Secondly, the best you have in the biggest game of your lives is giving you exactly what you need. But you think the trembling with the mask in the shower of fear is a thing? Well, how about managers just looking at lineups going, oh my God, here comes third time through.
Yeah.
Here comes third time through.
And again, 162 games versus your big dog, just teeth in.
Yeah.
I mean, he is in the midst of a gem.
You let Snell throw 130 pitches and go down with your best.
There you go. And so
then you got the Justin Turner bit.
And that's the thing. We're kind of running out of time here. News to Nord, brought to you by Canterbury's.
Let's break at 11:02.
Okay. Justin Turner. I'll just play the TV audio quickly.
We start this show with some breaking news. After the completion of the game tonight, we were informed by Major League Baseball that Justin Turner received a positive COVID test. That's why he was removed from the game. We have no other details at this time. We'll continue, though, to report on this developing story. Obviously, we hope Turner's okay and that everyone else is okay that's been around Turner. But there you go.
Yeah, weird situation.
Lenny,
there.
Quickly.
Yeah.
What's more 2020? The Vikings playing a team with 8 people bit in the game, and they have 0 positives out of it, despite sweating with the infected. Or in the World Series, a player has to leave the game because the COVID test just arrived, and he's got to come out of there.
And by the way, I don't think they'd had a positive test in Major League Baseball in like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So something happened.
A member of the Cardinals went up to Turtle Lake and went 7 out, and he thought that was the worst part of his day. No, it's not. You just infected 20 guys on your team.
Yeah, I don't understand how that works. And the World Series is over now, so they have to figure. I guess it's up to Justin Turner and those around him how they want to handle it within the Dodgers organization.
I think they're in a lot of trouble. I think he's in a lot of trouble.
Well, the key to all of this is I don't understand how it's an inconclusive test on game day.
Oh, it is?
That's where it starts in the morning.
Okay.
And then I think there's a retest that takes place at some point.
Really?
So at this stage, he's, you know, I guess he's heart and soul of team. He's loud guy. He's energy boost guy.
Oh, yeah.
Good player. He was 0-3 in this particular game, but certainly a factor with this team.
Mm-hmm.
But once you test positive and you come out of the 8th inning, now fear levels of individuals are different in this world.
Yeah, go ahead and expound on that, but anyway.
You can't come back out on the field.
Uh-huh.
In the age of rage, in the situation we're in, there's a freaking pandemic.
Yeah.
You're in a bubble for a reason. That one's tough for a lot of people to swallow right now as they see a picture of Justin Turner, sans mask, on the field at Globe Life, next to cancer-surviving manager Dave Roberts. There's a lot of negativity on that.
Yeah, I understand and I respect it. And quite honestly, if I'm with the Dodgers and I catch wind of that,
I'd be mad.
Like if I'm Magic, I'm like, you're not out there. Okay. First of all, Maybe it is a false positive, but we don't know that now. But from what we know now, you got bit. And the right thing to do for everybody involved is for you to not be next to people with coronavirus, which, by the way, has changed the world on many levels.
It has.
And mask-free next to the cancer survivor.
You can't do it.
I mean, it's just idiotic. It's just it is in an otherwise selfish world that has become markedly more selfish during the Age of Rage. Some would call it the Purge. That is about the most selfish. That's probably the most selfish thing that I've seen of the entire time.
Mm.
Is like, this is so important to me that I'm going to get out there for me and not worry about everybody else, including the cancer survivor, and what potentially transpires from that.
Well,
I think it's selfish. You think I'm wrong?
I think there's a selfish element to it. I will acknowledge that the cancer surviving manager had a choice of as to who he would sit next to.
Yeah.
He did not seem appalled or disgusted with it.
I got it.
I'm not mad at him kissing his wife. That's between him and his wife.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, that situation, respecting the players, respecting a process that allowed this season to exist in the first place.
Yes, sir.
And it sucks because it's your first World Series title.
Speaking of the word,
we gotta go.
Speaking of the word respect, I have 4 seconds to tell you we respect farmers. That's next.
The Fan.
Talk about an uphill battle, 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. He don't ever get rattled. He just goes till the sun goes down. Hydraulic fluid on his jeans, red dye diesel and 10 rows between. A cold one on the porch and a good night's sleep. Y'all hold him up with me now. Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turn from green to that harvest honey.
You like that?
One up for the banker downtown, they got him on his
hard
head. Shake money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves
hardcore.
Every night, raising a son, raising a daughter. They gather around the table, send it up to the father. Somehow they get closer when times get harder. Here's to the farmer.
Happy Disc Harrow season to those of you who celebrate. On behalf of 9 to Noon, your Farming on the Fan fans, farmers love the Fan, and Fan on the Farm, a leader, could be a very, very tantamount and influential season for you. So we recognize, not only in the Age of Rage, but with a proclivity to celebrate different seasons. For those of you celebrating Disc Harrow season, we would like to welcome you to maybe your favorite season of the year. The 9 to Noon question. From, is it Gregala or Gregala? Any idea? Gregala?
I'm a Gregala guy.
From Gregala to Goodhue, from Roosevelt to Racine, this is hashtag Fan on the Farm. You know, the fall tilling is something that's incredibly important now. The truck runs to elevators and river ports. We got you on all of that. We're with you. We're very happy the weather's taking a positive turn for all of the wonderful farmers in this beautiful state, undoubtedly waiting for snow, waiting for the snow to come out of the fields so they can execute their toil, recognizing machinery's not going to fix itself. So that's everything that's transpiring for farmers on the combines on a Farming Friday football feast on a Wednesday, listening to FM 100.3. I am.
Or on these Disc Harrows.
Yeah.
You got to see these things.
Well, so I have.
There's an underrated aspect to Fan on the Farm and those that work incredibly hard, significantly harder than we do. The ability to use one of these Disc Harrows with the blades turning, oh, it's just tilling up the dirt right now. I think that's what it's doing.
Thank you.
That looks like a blast.
I'm going to lead Disc Harrow mine.
Hopefully that has a beer can holder.
And yours truly, celebrates, appreciates, and recognizes disc harrow season.
Yeah.
With my palms to the sky.
Indeed you do.
What are farmers on the fan doing right now? Covering those tomato plants overnight. Temps get real chilly. Probably a good idea to invest in a quality thermos for those long, chilly days out on the farm.
Fill that thing up with coffee.
Or soup. Hot chocolate. Maybe coffee with Bailey's.
Ooh.
Does the disc harrow, the tilling, and the filling of the silo work with coffee with Bailey's?
I think all of the above works with coffee with Bailey's.
But we're not encouraging that.
No.
Because we don't want somebody to get pinched for driving a combine while close to intoxicated.
Yeah, clearly we do not understand what the legalities involved with this are.
Well, no doubt.
So we'll just move on. I'll tell you, chili for lunch. How about hot chili?
Mm-hmm.
The chili is hot in that thermos. And you've just...
Good idea.
You've just harrowed 50 acres before the sun freaking came up.
Thank you.
Lunchtime's at like 7:30 a.m. Thermos full of chili.
See, I think thermos full of coffee is what is imperative at this moment. Not only will it warm you, but the caffeine will help you when you look at everything you have, farmers, and you will recognize and quickly realize machinery is not going to fix itself. So you need a little jolt into the fix. You with me? That cropland. Anybody lay around sweating the 2021 spring weather, hoping the blessing is that of perfection?
Ooh.
Is that part of farming on the fan? Staring at the ceiling fan, concerned with the 2021 weather and your crops?
That's interesting that you put it that way, because here, nine to noon, and listeners, sports fans, you know, specializing in our fandom and love of the trivial.
Yeah.
We are worried and staring at ceiling fans over what's going to happen in late April of 2021.
Now, we're staring at those ceiling fans, quite honestly, with all due respect, hoping we don't get killed
by
Green Bay this weekend.
That's a very good point.
I didn't say that. I got to stop being like that.
But looking forward to late April 2021, the next NFL draft taking place.
Sorry, Spearfish.
But before even the NFL draft comes to fruition, these farmers must already be gazing into March.
Yeah.
Be gazing into what planting and what the process looks like.
No doubt.
To start the whole freaking cycle up again.
No doubt.
People got to eat, and they're going to feed us.
Right, and that cropland, man, I mean, seriously, you have to cast your gaze the way of spring 2021 and put your palms to the sky and just hope the blessing is that of perfection. Now,
I really want to drive a disc, Carol.
Let's put this as FIDA, Fairness in Deer Hunting Act. Nine to noon. We don't prefer to wag our fingers at people and be like, do this, do this, do this, do this.
That is correct.
We are nobody's police for anything.
Nope.
However, we do gently and politely request, farmers, fight the temptation to deer hunt from the combine platform.
Oh.
It's not used for that. There's still tilling to be done. Machinery is not going to fix itself, and your thermos is substandard. So let's not start deer hunting from the combine platform, okay? There is a PA and public service announcement, and that was courtesy of 9 to noon and at no charge. Traverse, Martin, Renville counties, we got you here on the Dan on the Farm Covenant. We feel your situation with every swing in the weather.
I even received a tweet from Western Wisconsin. I know it's not Minnesota. It's enemy territory.
Yeah.
But someone listening to 9 to noon while she milks cows in Western Wisconsin.
Yep.
She's a member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin.
You held back on it, didn't you?
WisconsinDairy.org.
You're trying to drop teat in there, but you can't do it.
I can't do it.
Can't pull the trigger.
You can hand it out, though.
But there's nothing to hand out. It's legitimate. It's a legitimate body part.
Yes.
They have teats.
Right.
The teats need to be pulled and massaged so the milk comes shooting out.
Now, there are some facilities where I believe they get hooked up to like machines.
Well, that's
I don't know if that's inhumane.
It's new age. It's next level, Shanny. I'm not into it. I'd prefer to farm like Vince Lombardi.
I think they still
or
need
Bud
to
Grant.
I think that no matter what, they need to be greased up before they are properly milked.
But very fair. I mean, I'd want my teat greased before somebody starts yanking on it. Now, do know we feel your situation on many, many levels because farmers, we may be of the white collar variety, but we are you.
Yes.
9 to noon harvests corn from a can and the pole is bountiful. We sweat the weather like you, but ours is the walk from the car to the grocery store, but we feel that sweat. White-collar problems, people. That's what we face in the metro version of the Fan on the Farm Covenant. But we just want to let you know that it may be to a different level, white-collar, blue-collar. You like overalls. Nordo wears overalls. And I respect overalls. You can put all that together, and we are you, even though we are harvesting corn from a can.
Yeah, you bring the corn to the store.
Mm-hmm.
I wait for a cart to be sanitized so I can walk to that aisle and pick up that corn.
Again, FIDA, Fairness in Deer Hunting Act. No deer hunting from that cart. And no deer hunting from the combine platform.
That's a good point.
It's not time.
Didn't even think about that.
Farmers out there going next level with cover crops. Are you kidding me? I mean, cover crops? So coy, so next level, Shanny. Those into conservation, those of you with cover crops, they are lauding you.
Yeah.
Cover crops are planted, well, I mean, of course everybody knows this, including 9 to noon, but, you know, for those who may have missed it in the next level farming.
Why don't you explain what cover crops are to the value and the benefit of a farmer's land?
Thank you. Well, in the next level farming manuscript.
Yeah, those looking ahead to 2021.
Thank you. Cover crops are planted alongside cash crops like corn and soybeans, so the land stays green longer.
It suppresses weeds. It helps mitigating soil erosion. Cover crops is the elite playmaker's move when trying to not only maximize the cash crop, but looking ahead to the next year.
Well, that's how next level Shanny farms with cover crops.
I.e. those in Fairmont and Jackson County.
It's the undefeated Steelers of farming. It's cover crops and the importance. More farmers, by the way, also are trying conservation tillage or no-till, which helps prevent erosion and also promotes soil health. You know that old Blackstreet song, No Diggity, No Till?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's transpiring right now. East side, west side, no till, no diggity. So what goes into that? Because it sounds next level. Now, cover crops from a farming standpoint is next level, Shanny. I think the conservation tillage or no till, that might be next level tanny. That's next level tanny. In closing, farmers on the fan, help me with this.
Yeah.
Those in southern Minnesota burying tidy whities in July to see what they look like in October and how they have decomposed. And I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
You get those underwear, those tidy whities. I don't know if they've been worn. I don't know if you need a certain scent to, like, attract the worms. I got no idea. I ain't digging for tidy whities. So when it comes to what you do, which matters more than what I do, I'm not coming into your world and tilling or digging for somebody else's underwear.
That makes sense.
Southern Minnesota burying tidy whities in July to see what they look like in October.
Getting philosophical on the farm. On
wow.
The
I mean, is that something fun to test the soil or the next wave of farming on the fan?
Oh, my God.
It's next level.
It is next level.
Sounds fun. Might be a cool game to play with the kids.
Hey, Billy, Johnny, Cletus, Shirley, let's run into the field and dig up the underwear. Oh, goody, Daddy, I can't wait. It beats listening to 9 to noon say biatch. Daddy, what is biatch and what does it mean?
Christmas morning in July.
So those of you burying the tidy whities in July to see what the decomposition looks like, those of you going next level shanty with the cover crops, Traverse, Martin, Renville counties, Verndale, Wadena, Walker, Babbitt, Bovee, Carlton, Eveleth, Floodwood, Graston, Appleton, Ashby, all the way to Avon. 9 to noon has great appreciation for Farmers on the Fan, and we thank you for what you do, all of you. In fact, so much, we're going to give you an opportunity to put a grand in your pocket via your hand. What's up?
Fan and Wicks and Jewelers want to put a grand in your hand every hour, a new keyword, a new chance to win $1,000. This hour's keyword on a Wednesday is cash. Text cash to 200-200. You want cash? Well, text cash to 200-200. Might win $1,000. Text cash to 200-200. Text message.
Fan.
KFAN, as we always should, but we do and we try to when we can, KFAN wants to give thanks to all our veterans and their families for their service. You can join us in celebrating veterans with the iHeartRadio Salute to Vets. Show some love to the veterans in your life. Go to iHeartRadio.com/veterans, by the way. And you can learn how to be sure and download or subscribe to the Vets You Should Know podcast. And it's on iHeartRadio, available this Veterans Day, November 11th. We love you, veterans.
Speaking of love. Eric Ward, Eric from Fankato. What's up, E?
Maple River.
Yeah, known him for many, many years, back to the PA and Dubé days of doing Fankato training camp shows, where our show was across the street next to where the players would park their bikes, and they would walk out from like that weight room area or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Eric in Fankato has been a part of the Love Covenant for many, many years.
He's probably an elite farming or disc harrow mind.
Correct. He emailed Booth at KFAN.com. 1,000 of the 8,000 hogs he takes care of every day while listening to the Fan. I mean, that's an arduous task right there, my man. So, Eric Ward, Eric in Fankato, thank you very much for listening to 9 to Noon and FM 100.3. KFAM. So, Vikings, How is everybody handling these final 10 with the Minnesota Vikings? How's everybody prepared to handle these final 10 with the favorite football team? If you win a single game the rest of the journey, how about we make it this one, right? Emails to Booth on all of this, and here it is. What is a Rube's guide to the final 10 this season with the Minnesota Vikings? How is the direction taken by the devoted judged via the By Football Faith Covenant? Following, watching, and or listening. Suggestions into the final 10. Now, let's commence with the football morality of it. We head to the football morality desk, and Nordo, Eric Nordquist, mad producer, moralistically speaking, where do you, the Fan, begin into the final 10?
Into the final 10, I begin with just deciding whether I want to root for the team to win, PA. This has been the crux of my entire existential self-questioning that has been going on during your vocal maintenance days, since the bye, since Hayden Hurst was completely uncovered and went into the end zone against the Falcons.
The By Football Faith Covenant does have an answer for you with exactly what you just said that will be shared later.
And that is the key to this. That's why this guidebook for handling the final 10 is so important to me. As a person that you could say I was caught in purgatory, PA, I'm not finding the right answer as I sit here with my palms to the sky, waiting for a sign, waiting for a signal to determine whether the word tank should ever be used, to determine whether I want certain players to play well, certain players not to play well, or not play at all, what I want to do with the quarterback. My head is so full, but my heart is drawn. It is connected almost physically, spiritually, and certainly emotionally with this football team. When they hurt, I hurt, PA.
I know that.
When they celebrate, I celebrate.
I'm right next to you.
And to be able to stay strong and tall over the next 10 weeks is the A topic for me moralistically.
Well stated.
But again, looking for that sign and that signal on how to properly go through all of that mentally, compartmentalizing poor play, kids on the rise, with a growing and growing L side of the scoreboard and standings.
Yeah, the age of rage has infiltrated you to a certain extent.
It has.
Mostly off the mic.
Yes.
But it's starting to trickle on the mic with some of these, let's just say, sidewinding, sarcastic, wise-cracking bits that you're cutting loose with, Lenny.
I'm a broken man, PA. The team is 1-5. I feel like I've gone 0-100, and I just need a light at the end of the tunnel.
The football demons are working on you.
Yes.
And I am here to tell you, persevere. Mm. Persevere, for Zimmer will guide you to the football wilderness. And in the wilderness, there will be shelter, and you will be fed. But you have to persevere, and you can never stop believing. Whether you are perceiving Aaron Rodgers or the slings and arrows of the outrageous negatives to be, I don't know, that of a green and gold dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, wearing that crown, or crowns up. That is that belt. Remember we had that special belt move?
Yes, we did.
Until John Ryan, the punter for the Chickens, made a big play, looked at you and emulated your belt.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, 7 horns, 7 heads, 10 horns and crowns toppling to the football earth.
And on that day, John led his people into the wilderness to find their place one step farther into the postseason.
Because they thought they were done. I mean, by football faith, they had their pigskin in the purge loving hands in the air saying, when? When?
When?
How much longer? And that's where you are right now.
How much burden can I carry on my Vikings loving shoulders?
I sense you're heavy laden.
I am.
And joining Zimmer's yoke, given his heart is lowly, that will take you where you need to be.
Mm.
But you have to do it from 1-5. So,
and I have to seek it out, don't I?
You are.
Yes.
You are by publicly sharing the way you are now. Your acceptance of this football team is lifelong. And the confessing or repenting of your sins of one time earlier this season during the Tennessee game, so flustered in the box, at the right hand of the announcer, as the spotter, throwing the tantrum that you threw with the blasphemy for which you have been forgiven, for the purple blasphemy that came out of your mouth.
I said so many things.
When Khalif Raymond got behind somebody for a second time.
I couldn't believe it.
That was the bottom.
Forgive me.
You found it. And now we head to the wilderness together.
Mm.
We head together by football faith, recognizing we have shelter. But we have to persevere. Now, while watching, following, and or listening to the final 10, here are some 9 to noon love covenant by football faith suggestions. Not mandates. These are suggestions.
I like that.
And maybe they help. Maybe you hate it. Maybe we'll see. Let's begin with this one. If you hope for losses the rest of the way, you are not a bad fan. And that is not something I would have said during X amount of losing seasons. When it comes to losing seasons, the 19-year announcer, well, I've been to handling school. So there are times where I never would say if you root against this team, you're a bad fan. I'm saying right now, if you hope for losses the rest of the way, the love covenant, and by football faith, we do not see you as a bad fan.
I think I would even go so far to say that I understand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not, I don't agree, but I understand.
Yes.
The by football faith blasphemy at the Vikings defense, a rookie corner because of Khalif Raymond, I didn't agree with what you said, but I understood it.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we went to break.
And you were there to listen to me.
And then we moved forward together.
You provided the yoke that I, in turn, jumped into.
I was the human wilderness, and you had no problem finding the food. If you feel, even at this stage, with 10 to go, there's no hope of playoff fun, the Love Covenant understands your proclamation, and you will not be judged. Be happy. We haven't been in this spot much. 550 2020 snaps from rookie corners, 940 in Zimmer's first 6 years. There's that. And it factors into the by football faith gospel on the way to handle the final 10 games. So if you, in a roundabout way, overtly, covertly, whatever, not you, but everybody, if you hope for Minnesota Vikings losses the rest of the way, you are not a bad fan, and you will not be judged. Do you believe that's fair? Do you believe that can become pigskin in the purge gospel?
I believe it can become gospel.
Thank you.
I picture fans out there who are parents, and they remember raising children, much like the head coach Mike Zimmer is right now, raising your children to walk, teaching them how to use silverware at the table, teaching them to ride a bike,
yeah,
and how messy it was, how tiring it was. It was exhausting. In some cases, it was emotional. It was frustrating. Picture the wealth of different emotions that incurred and the acrimony at times.
This is so peaceful, stimulating, and serene. Please continue.
When will it stop? That was the refrain coming from your heart, your mind, and your soul, as little Johnny continued to flick SpaghettiOs across the kitchen. Fast forward, he is now 7 years old.
Yeah.
He properly uses a spoon. You tell him to sit at the table, he sits there.
Mm-hmm.
The football relative analogy to that is,
yeah,
Cam Dantzler, Jeff Gladney, they know the routes, they know the players, they use the techniques, the hips are fluid, the ball skills are ready. And all of the trials and tribulations, as you're running down the street behind your daughter and you let go of the bike with no training wheels and you just watched her glide full of glee and accomplishment. And
my
you
God.
And you get to watch Mike Zimmer's defense that has been so undermanned, underpowered,
so
and absolutely hideous in 2020. When you watch it return to form and it has that growth moment and coming of age.
Preach, pigskin in the purge. Preacher, preach to me now.
The pleasure and the excitement you will find in 2021 will be worth every moment of understanding and gloom that you held in these dark days of the purge.
You have a witness.
Hallelujah.
And you have an amen. And that not only includes me, the purveyor of pigskin in the purge positivity and preaching, pigskin in the purge fellow preacher Kyle Wertelman has sent correspondence via carrier pigeon, or maybe it was a raven.
What up, K-Dub?
K-Dub. Zimmer's yoke is not easy. His burden is very heavy. Onward and upward. You're right.
Yes.
But his heart is lowly, and that is what is key. We have more to share with a Rube's guide to watching, listening, or following Vikings football from 1-5, from football tumult through the final 10.
I can't wait. can't wait until tomorrow.
Did you hear that sports update bit? I don't.
A portion of it.
I mean, I may have missed exactly how the lady put it, but she was, you know, after it was like, I'm Joe Montana, and this is your iHeart Fox whatever sports update.
Yeah.
Then the lady comes in, and she was like, Timberwolves, this may interest you. Well, we have the first overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And then she was like, the Dallas Mavericks have made it public that they're willing to make trades via the draft as long as it doesn't involve Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis.
Right.
Hey, Mr. Cuban, can I get Dion Wright for that first overall pick? Ma'am.
Hey, how's Dwight Powell doing? Is that ACL better yet?
Well, for Dwight Powell, hey, Dwight Powell, okay, explosive at times. Mark, you give me Dwight Powell and Dorian Finney-Smith, I'll give you two number ones.
Ooh.
Ma'am, what are we doing here?
New look lineup, you get Seth Curry. And then how about, I mean, you want shooting, and I don't know what's up with Malik Beasley these days. Maybe we get Hardaway Jr.
Wouldn't it be?
You can't argue LFL with Hardaway Jr. It isn't a win.
Wouldn't it be, well, if I get chopped in the radio guillotine league this week, then I definitely can argue LFL when it comes to football, because League Freak is Life has the greatest cast of fantasy basketball players ever assembled in the history of Mr. Naismith's sport.
I want to meet Stu.
However, when we got into Charchian's radio guillotine bit, first one chopped was Nordo, the con artist in League Freak Forever.
Yeah.
Second one to get caught was Bielli's team. He got chopped. The East Sider, the civil servant.
Yeah, the mailman.
So we got three League Freak representatives in this league, and two-thirds are dead.
Two are dead already.
Two-thirds are riding around on a horse with no head.
And frankly, you were in very perilous spots.
Well, I rolled the dice.
At points throughout that weekend.
I rolled the dice. I drafted Dalvin Cook knowing he wasn't playing against Atlanta, and he would have an off week.
Yeah.
And I took Chick Nubb, knowing he'll come back week 10, knowing that he'll be back soon, and I got the big horse in the barn.
There we go.
So, welcome back, Chick Nubb.
And Dalvin could have himself a weekend. That'd be sweet.
The Minnesota Timberwolves undoubtedly are interested in this, for they own the first overall pick in the draft. The Dallas Mavericks have made it known league-wide that they are willing to make trades for picks as long as it doesn't involve Luka Doncic or Kristaps Porzingis. In a related report, nobody has offered Dion Wright for the first and second picks available in the 2020 draft. More on that never.
I love those sports reports. Like, oh, we had, like, Collinsworth. Collinsworth came in at the beginning of the show. He's talking like some Eagles bit.
Oh, no doubt.
No one cares about that. But Rhonda Moss.
Oh, Rhonda Moss.
I think she's out of KC.
Yeah.
She's hitting us with the local stuff that we're craving.
No, it's elite. And the only thing better is the traffic generated that keeps saying Shakopee. That's the only thing better that we have on the fan.
L.
But anyway, you know, a Rube's guide to the final 10 this season with the Minnesota Vikings, the direction taken by the devoted, judged via the By Faith Football Covenant, and I'm Paul Allen. The first one was, this is Love Covenant Gospel with Pigskin and the Purge and From 1 and 5. Good morning. If you hope for losses the rest of the way, you are not a bad fan, and you will not be judged via the By Football Faith Covenant. If you hope they lose the rest of the way and suggest tanking during games by not giving your all, you will be judged harshly.
Correct.
Via the By Football Faith Covenant. That potentially leads to injury, compromises the integrity of this great game, and would be blatant cheating. That, in turn, violates the Ten Commandments of the By Football Faith Covenant, and the judging will be harsh.
Yes.
If you choose to watch or listen to fewer than half the games remaining, your true fandom will be called into question. It's all in or all out. There's no in between. You follow the progress or lack thereof by key contributors to formulate unique, non-obvious opinions. when we discuss the what's next plan in 3.5 to 4 months. You don't quit on something you love. You just can't.
You have to see it through.
If you choose to watch or listen to fewer than half the games remaining, your true fandom will be called into question by football faith.
If you can't handle the Vikings at their worst, you do not deserve them at their best.
Beautiful. Amen. You will not be judged via the by football faith covenant if you covet what others possess. Kenny Clark Sunday. Frank Ragnow in 2 Sundays. Tom Brady in 1 month and change. Even though, my brethren, it is written not to covet thy neighbor's football possessions, it's hard not to want Kenny Clark in purple and gold. I'm just being honest with you. Please don't judge me.
I love Kenny Clark.
Bearing false witness.
Adrian Amos.
Bearing false witness.
Jair Alexander.
It's not proper to lie because we are 1-5 and state your love for another team when you're at the club with Isaac trying to meet girls.
That's true.
Don't lie and be like, I've been a Cleveland Browns fan forever because your true favorite team is 1-5. Bearing false witness will get you judged. The best way to watch or listen to Vikings football is to find a certain degree of peace with every sliver of finality. If and or when they lose, cheer for the kids. On Dantzler, on Gladney, on Ezra named Cleveland, on DJ and Bradbury and even Dave Dixon.
And Drew Samia.
Always be faithful to the team you love. Persevere through the tribulation. Email or tweet. Flop for Fields and you will not be judged. Farmers on the Fan, don't take the 3 first-half interceptions against Atlanta out on your silos. Verily, verily, the Love Covenant proclaims the promised land is our goal. Make 2020 learn for Lombardi. Football tribulation, football famine, pigskin in the purge. Stay true to the Minnesota Vikings, our friends, the team you love. Everything you shared is right there in the Book of Vox. It's the King Daniil version. Bye.
Hashtag Faith Radio, 9 to noon.
If it's good news or money, leave a message.
Podcast Today's Paul Allen Show. Or listen back to previous show and interviews by going to the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.com.